And it's good to have you back. It was a surprise to see you this morning here with us. Now, Brother Greg will speak tonight and speak also the coming Sunday night. Pastor Van Dyken will be available for Sunday morning on the 19th and on the 26th. And Pastor and Mrs. Otero will go on vacation. And we are very happy. All right. I got it. Do you saw the fingers of that girl? Cool like that. Mamma mia, that Chinese girl. You saw what they did like this? Well, way up there. So I learned the word. And we are very happy. All right. So when I go to my wife and say, hi, darling. Brother Greg, it's all yours.
The Lord is blessing. Thank you, Amy, for taking a little extra time talking and allowed my computer to reboot three times. Now, technology is a blessing from God, but it's also one of the curses of Satan, but let's not go there. Let us turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 14. And what we're going to be doing is talking about one of the second great covenants of the scriptures. We talked before about the Abraham covenant, the covenant of hope, as I referred to it. And tonight we're going to be talking about the Mosaic covenant, which is I'm calling the covenant of blessing. And there's so much in there, we're just going to be narrowing down on a small piece of it. So before we start, let's go ahead and pray, and then I'll read the scriptures, and then we'll take a look at it. Father, we thank you for the numerous blessings which you have bestowed upon us. We stand in awe of how you pour out blessing upon blessing upon blessing, how you enable people like Amy to go off to China and present in some form or fashion the love of Jesus Christ. Though she couldn't speak directly about him, we still know that you were there and you were represented. Lord, we also thank you that you have placed your covenants in our midst, that you have given us a hope of eternal life, and that you will bless us continually. And Lord, we pray for as we look into your scripture this evening that you will shine through and that your word will demonstrate itself, that we are the people of God and that Jesus Christ is our Savior. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, and that's on page 134 of the Pew Bible, starting in verse 1. The scriptures tell us, and it will be, if you shall listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you, if you will listen to the voice of the Lord your God. You shall be blessed in the city and be blessed in the field. The fruit of your body shall be blessed, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your cows, and the flocks of your sheep. Your basket and your store shall be blessed. You shall be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord shall cause your enemies that rise up against you to be stricken before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing on you and your storehouses and all that you set your hand to, and he shall bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord shall establish you a holy people to himself, as he has sworn to you, if you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. And all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord shall prosper you in goods, in the fruit of your body, and in the fruit of your cattle, and in the fruit of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord shall open to you his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand, and you shall loan to many nations, and you shall not borrow. And the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail, and you shall be always above, and you shall not be beneath. If you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, to observe and to do them, and you shall not go aside from any of the words which I command you today, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. So this evening we're going to be taking a look at this section of the text. If we were to continue on with the scriptures in just Deuteronomy 28, it would now turn into the curses. Okay, what happens if you don't obey and keep the word of God? And it continues on to that. As I was doing my study on here, I essentially found that this passage, these 14 verses, are split into two distinct sections. And the boundaries of these sections are rather unique, and that's what we're going to spend the most of our time looking at, are the boundaries of these sections. And right here we have those basic boundaries. Deuteronomy 28, 1 to 2 is the beginning of the first section. Deuteronomy 28, 9 to 10 is the transition section between the two. And Deuteronomy 28, 13 to 14 terminates that whole group. But what we have here in these three groups of passages that we're looking at here is a tremendous amount of parallelism. I'll explain the different colors and what's going on there in a second. But what else we have between these sections are two sections of explicit blessings. And that's another interesting study in itself, because those blessings are repeated. Okay, similar to what we're seeing here is a lot of repetition as well and parallelism, where these sayings look exactly alike or very similar in nature. But we're going to dig into what some of that is. So the scripture here is talking about how do we get the blessings of God. So he starts off and says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently." Okay, he's placing a condition. If you do this. And what's very interesting about this passage, hearken diligently. How many of us have read in the New Testament, truly, truly, or verily, verily? Okay, that's the same structure. It says, hear, hear. He's saying the same, similar type of thing of, you have to really listen closely to the voice of the Lord. You know, as children, or as we have children, how many times have we asked them, say, to but take out the garbage and they're in the middle of reading a book or in the middle of a video game? Are they really hearing? You know, so you say, you call out the kid's name, "Sorry, Gregory, you're the only son I have here. Gregory, take out the garbage. Gregory, did you hear me?" "Yeah, uh-huh." Okay. That's not the hearing that we have. But this is a diligently hearing in that you are pursuing more. Okay? You're gathering more. You want to understand more. You want to know every little nuance. Jesus talks about not one jot or tittle will deviate. Okay, will be changed by the law. That's what he's talking about. Be particular attention to the details. So that's one of the passages that says, hearken, hear diligently. And we see that exactly paralleled in 13 to 14. He says in here, if that thou hearken unto the commandments. Again, listen up. Okay? You're going to listen here in the red where we have the parallels. Listen up to what's going on here. Okay? Diligently listen. Then the next condition that we have pointed out here in blue, is to observe. Okay, he says to observe and to do all his commandments. So he's wanting us to observe them, to concentrate on them, to evaluate them and understand them. Just what are they? He's talking in very gross detail. And then again, we have to do. And the to do is not just listening to them, not just looking at them and studying them, but get up and do them. Walk and do them and live your life according to them. Okay? So God doesn't mess around here. And he's, as we see here, he keeps saying it over and over again. And he says to observe in verse 1. Then he says keep the commandments in verse 9. And over in 13, he says to observe them again. When God repeats something, I think he's really saying, you got to really pay attention to this. And he doesn't just say it once here, doesn't say it twice, but in this short passage, he says it three times. Okay? Something that he's crucial. So what is he talking about here in we have to do? What is the power of it, and how closely do we have to do that? Well, let's go over to Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. And Matthew chapter 7 gives an explanation of just what does he mean by doing? What is it? What's the reason for it? And he makes it very clear, again, that he's not messing around. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 21, he says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and through your name throw out demons, and through your name do many wonderful works?' And then I will say to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, those working lawlessness.'" See, just knowing about the name of Jesus. How many people do you encounter during your day that know, yeah, I've heard of Jesus? And then you might have people that actually talk about Jesus and how, you know, he's a pretty good guy. But that was about the extent of it. Or maybe they'll go and talk to other people about Jesus, but they really aren't living their life in such a way that says, I know him. So they're doing good works, maybe they're talking about him. Can people really do good works, maybe even for Jesus or in the name of Jesus, and still not be saved? You can take a look at a lot of the churches that are over in Europe. A lot of those built in the Middle Ages. How were those built? Well, they had a great donor that came in and said, I'm willing to donate to this church, absolve me of my sins. And the priests say, no problem. What are your sins? And let's figure out the charges. Okay, I took an art history class, and the art in some of these old churches is absolutely phenomenal. But it was placed there not because of Jesus, not because of the commandments of God, but because I want to work around Jesus. Were they doing good works? Sure. They're giving to the work of God, in essence. But were they really doing God's work? No. They weren't obeying his commands. They were finding a way around them. And so when God is telling us to observe and to do, he's not saying work around me, but work through me. Now, the other passage that I have here as part of the commands or the limitations, the conditions of it is where it says not go aside. And that is also a very interesting structure here. So he says in verses 1 and 2, you have a big focus on doing the word of God, of being obedient. And again, you have it in verses 13 and 14. In verse 14, it says, "And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command me this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them." So God is also placing a limitation. How far can you deviate from the commands of God and still be okay? And he says, don't go aside. Don't veer to the left. Don't veer to the right, but straight on the money. Well, how close is straight on the money? Well, let's go over to James chapter 2 in verse 10. And in that scripture, James tells us how close is close enough. James 2:10. Scripture says, "For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." So you can keep the entire law from basically Exodus all the way through to Deuteronomy and the end of it. Okay, you can be completely obedient, but you told one lie in your life. Only one. You're still a transgressor of the law. You have still deviated from the commandments of God. Did you keep the commands of God? No. Did you do the commands of God? No. Why? Because you went to the side. You found a point at which I am willing to lie, or I'm willing to have a hatred for somebody, willing to deviate from the expectations of the law. See, God is giving us here, if you want to be blessed by God, here are my commandments that we've just talked about for 40 years. We've gone through over and over and over and studying these commandments of God. So keep them. It sounds, in concept, not a big deal. No problem. And especially, okay, let's focus in on just, let's just keep 10. You know, we've got this Exodus chapter 20. It's got 10 commandments. Deuteronomy chapter 5. It's got 10 commandments. We'll just keep those 10. Okay, well, I can't really do that, so let's keep one. Okay, well, so much for the one. Okay. But God is placing here the conditions of blessing. And he repeats himself to make sure that you get the point. You want to be blessed? Keep the commandments. Now, what I also noticed as I was looking at these scriptures is with the conditions that God outlined are also what I'm calling exaltations. So if we go back to Deuteronomy 28, we see in the first passage here, it says, if you observe everything that I've said, and if you do them, and if you diligently listen to me, you don't deviate from side to side. He says, here's one of the blessings that you receive, or this is how you are exalted. Okay, these exaltations here are different than the blessings, in that these are focusing on you as an individual and not on your prosperity. The rest of the blessings are almost focusing on your prosperity, but these focus on you as a person. And this first one here that we're looking at is, I will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. I'm going to lift you up, set you up so high that no one can miss you. Okay? So, we're going to take a look at another passage. What does that look like? Let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. 1 Peter 5, 6, and that's on page 715 of the Pew Bible. 1 Peter 5, 6 gives us a bit of an explanation of what he's talking about there. Okay, 1 Peter 5, 6. The scriptures tell us, therefore be humbled under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Okay, God wants you to humble himself, yourself before him, to make yourself nothing and make him everything in order that he can lift you up. If you've ever fallen down, is it easier for you to lift yourself up or someone to help you up? Right? Especially if you're injured. Someone else lifting you up. And here, the scriptures is telling us that in 1 Peter 5, as well as Deuteronomy 28 here, God is the one that will lift you up. God is the one that will pick you up. He's the one that's going to exalt you. Okay? He's the one that will set you high above all so that you stand out and that you are different. Now, the next thing that I want to look at is in our passage here. It says here, and all these blessings, the blessings that he talked about throughout all of the law, as well as what he's going to be following with, which we're not going to be getting into, says, all of these shall come on thee. Okay? You're not pursuing them. You're not saying, oh, goody, I want to be blessed, so I'm going to do this. It says, they're going to come on you. You don't have a choice. They come. But they shall overtake you. How many people have ever been overtaken in a blessing? Where you were hoping to receive, you know, maybe a little gift, or maybe you're hoping to have a normal Sunday, and a child you haven't seen for a while just sort of comes up behind you and says, peekaboo? Huh?
Hello.
Okay, hello, sorry, I thought I heard peekaboo. Okay? But the blessings overtake. They don't just right where you need them, but they pour over and expand. So let's take a look at that. Over in Luke chapter 6, and verse 38 to get an understanding of what it means that the blessings will overtake us. I like this picture of Luke chapter 6. I had an illustration and my wife didn't care much for it, and she was right. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. And this is a picture of the blessings overtaking us. It says, "Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. They shall give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you measure, it shall be measured to you again." When you give, when you are blessed by God, the results are that His blessings to you are a good measure that's pressed down, okay, to the point of overflowing. Some of the young kids today during the 3 o'clock class got to make cookies, okay? Now, they made chocolate chip cookies, but I'm going to use peanut butter cookies because it's a little easier to explain. What does God mean by pressed down? Well, let's say when you make peanut butter cookies, you really like peanut butter. Nothing in the world satisfies you more than peanut butter. So the recipe calls for 1 cup of peanut butter. So you scoop in, fill up the peanut butter. But I really like peanut butter. So you take a spoon and you splash it all down, right? Now you got some holes in there. So you put more peanut butter in there. Now you smash it down some more. And you know, it doesn't say a level cup, so we're going to have a heaping cup. Okay? Now, you got the idea? You got your blessings, your cup, pressed down, there's more to go in, more to go in, more to go in until it's overflowing and you can't contain it anymore. That's how God blesses you. That's how God blesses His people. And that's what God is talking about. So now I want to look at the exaltation in verses 9 and 10, Deuteronomy 9 and 10, 28, 9 and 10. Scriptures tell us that the Lord shall establish thee an holy people. Now, what's interesting about this transition here, before I get into that, is he starts with an exaltation, in the middle is the condition, and he ends with an exaltation. God really wants to exalt His people. He's making sure you understand, you obey God, you'll be exalted. Okay? The exaltation itself. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people. Well, how does God establish you as a holy people? Let's go over to page 714, which is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. In 1 Peter chapter 2, God gives us Peter writes about the explanation. What does it mean that we will be a holy people? And how? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for possession, so that you might speak of the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You who when were not a people, but now the people of God, those not pitied then, but now pitied." How are we what kind of holy people are we? Well, we're a chosen generation. We didn't just suddenly show up and say, "Ooh, I want to be holy." No, God says, "You scum, I'm going to make you holy. You person who has no clue about the law of God, I'm going to make you holy. And I'm going to make these people that I choose holy." Why? Because I want to. But we are a holy generation. The scriptures tell us that we are not only a holy generation, but we're a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. And we're a people for His possession. So what He's talking about here in Deuteronomy says that we will be His people and He shall be our God. This is one of the passages in there. That's what He's talking about, a chosen people, a possession of God. We belong to God. Okay? Sometimes our attitudes or our actions are like, well, we belong to somebody else. Whatever our boss tells us at work, we have to do. Even if it's illegal or unethical, we have to do it because He owns us. He's our boss. No! God owns you. He's the one that bought you and purchased you. What we have is, how do we become a possession of God? Well, it tells us here in 1 Peter 2:9, we are called out so that you might speak of the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. The person that brought you from darkness, from depth of despair, from having no hope, to standing in the light, being able to see and being able to know what to do, where to go. That's Jesus Christ. He is the one that calls us out of the darkness and into the light. As you guys go home and late at night, sometimes you go outside and you look up for the stars. Now, the way you see the stars in the middle of a city, whether it's San Jose, whether it's someplace in Santa Cruz or whatever, the way you see the stars, the amount of stars you see, are different than if you're standing in the middle of San Martin. San Jose, the city areas, are flooded with lights. You really can't see much. But when you are in the light of God, when you are in a place where you can see the light more effectively, the heavens are beautiful. You can't see those when you're surrounded by the junk, by an impure light. But when you are in where you can't, where the only light you can see is the light of God, because you don't have those other lights, you get a better and more of a sense of the awe of God and understanding what it means to be called out of the darkness and into His glorious light. A lot of times, we are a holy people because we hold to standards. We are holy people because we say what is right and wrong. We have the Word of God. We're not perfect in our obedience, but we obey. Okay? And He has given us His commandments. What is a holy people? Well, one example, or one part of an example, is a holy people that says homosexuality is wrong. Why? Well, because God says so. Do I need to get into all the problems that it causes in the medical field? Do I need to get into all the problems it causes in the family? Do I need to get into all of the issues that it causes with whatever other arena you want to talk about? No. What makes it wrong? God said so. End of story. It's not wrong because, well, we don't like it. It's wrong because God doesn't like it. And that's what He's talking about, being a holy people. Willing to stand up for the truth, not because we like this better, but because God says so. That's the ramification. That's the picture of what we are, a holy people. Now, the other passage part that we have here, the other exaltation, this middle section, is you are called by the name of the Lord. When people see you and you are different, people will recognize that. I had a conversation this week with, he's a vendor. He's coming in working on some of our chips. And he told me that I'm one of the few people that, although a lot of people he works with will quote people, quote famous people, quote poets. He says, but you quote the Bible. Why? He says, because it's the Word of God, it's the truth. He wasn't ready to buy that, but that's okay. He noticed something was different. When I quote, I'm not quoting man, I'm quoting God. And so we will be called by the name of the Lord and we'll be recognized for it. Let's go over to 1 Peter, as long as we're in 1 Peter, let's go over to chapter 4 and verse 16. And look at what can happen as a result of being recognized as a people of God. Scriptures tell us, but if one suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God because of this. You are called by the name of the Lord. The name of God is placed upon you. And as a result of that, we may suffer some problems. People may not like us very much. But when you are suffering because you are a Christian, because you are with the name of the God. We are called by the name of God. He says, guess what? Praise God for that. Glorify God because of that. Doesn't matter what they say about you, but if you're being condemned because you're stealing, you have a right to be condemned. But if you are being condemned because you say, thus saith the Lord, praise God, because you are being called by the name of the Lord. You are being identified by Him. Now we're going to look at this third section here as an exaltation as well. What we have is he repeats in a different structure the same exaltation that he had in the first section. In the first section, he says that God will set thee on high above all nations. And he ends it with, and God will make you the head and not the tail. Thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. God is going to lift you up again. Okay? Again, making sure you understand it's God that lifts you up. Why? Because you're being obedient. You're trusting in the Word of God. Well, so if I were to close this all up and summarize this in one verse, I like James 1:25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed indeed in his deed. When you look into the law of God, when you look into the gospel of Jesus Christ, you see the freedom that God gives you. The right and the ability to obey God and not to sin. That's a power that we are given. Do we sin? Yes. But we stand forgiven. But he says, and you continue in the perfect law of liberty. Continue in asking for forgiveness and in acknowledging your sin and God continually cleansing you. And you're not a forgetful hearer. You remember the word of God and you do it. This man shall be blessed. And I would love to do another session on the blessings that are outlined here. They're beautiful pictures. But I wanted to point out that what we are called to do in order to be blessed is to listen to the voice of God. We're not to listen to the morning paper and have the gospel according to the Mercury News. Okay? We're not to listen to the televangelists and have, I don't even know any televangelists anymore, thank God. But we don't build our gospel, we don't build our life upon what they say. But we build our life upon the gospel of Jesus Christ and obey His words because we love Him. Do we have any questions or comments? Let us pray. Father, we thank You that You are a glorious God and You are our glorious Savior. We thank You, Lord, that You have given us the path to blessings. And it's not by pure obedience of keeping perfectly the laws of God, which we cannot, but it's by the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He is our blessing. He is our sacrifice. He is the one that cleanses us. Thank You, Lord, for Your word, for the power of Your presence, and the hope of eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen.